This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The time now is 9 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock, as we get into the second hour of Power Talk with myself and Nhlanhla Sihume, of course, standing in for Lerato Mbele this morning. And today we are joined by Nhlamulo Ndlela, who's the spokesperson for the MK Party, which has recently taken its place in the National Assembly. And just to give you some context, the MK Party having emerged as the official opposition after the DA opted to join the ANC in this government of national unity arrangement. With 58 members of parliament now sworn in, the MK Party's entry reflects both, some argue, continuity and change in South Africa's political landscape. Really promising economic inclusion, the party advocates for the nationalization of banks, mines and insurance companies, expropriation of land for state control, and providing free education and full employment. And in this conversation, we delve into the party's role as the opposition, also looking into its vision for the future and the implications for South African politics as well. Mr. Ndlela, a pleasure to have you on the program this morning.
Good morning, Clinton. Good morning to your listeners.
So I want to start off our conversation by really looking at the balance of power, especially in Parliament. How does the MK Party plan to navigate its position now as the official opposition in Parliament, dominated by this government of national unity?
Well, firstly, we don't recognize the government of national unity. We don't know what it means, what it stands for. You know, you have, in effect, a formation of parties that form total opposite views in policy, which does not make sense in terms of how they even plan to govern. It's very questionable. And by virtue of that, you know, we're continuously grappling, and it's starting to unfold, I think, for South Africans, what this so-called government of national unity would be, just based on, you know, this bogus document that they refer to, that ought to be leading the, you know, be the foundation for them leading this country. And already, you know, they're having spats internally amongst themselves. So that should be telling for South Africans that there's no unity just off the back of that document and their activities. As it pertains to us, as Kontuwe's user, we've always said that, you know, people in South Africa were looking for a solution. Mkhonto we came through. We are the solution. We've changed the political landscape, as you can see. The ANC is no longer a majority. And this is important for South Africans and for the country. But we've, again, also, off the back of that, said that we'll engage with progressive parties, a progressive ANC, not an ANC that will take the black vote to the DA and join the moonshot pact of racists. And we're saying that, you know, if just looking at the EFF, ANC and MK working together, that's a two-thirds majority, you know, that allows us to implement organic change for our people. But that cannot happen, again, if we don't change the laws. And we're talking about changing the constitution, and we say that. We say changing the laws within the law. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, by virtue of us having been sworn in yesterday, as you have seen, we're still being, you know, being sworn in protest. You'd know that we're still challenging the outcome of the declaration of those results by the IEC for the market, is what they say they did it for. And, you know, we will then follow, like we said in our press briefing with President Zuma, you know, deal with the issues inside of Parliament and outside of Parliament.
But how will that look like? Maybe to extend my question a bit, what strategies will the MK Party then employ to ensure that your policies, which I've highlighted as well, such as nationalization and land expropriation, how will you ensure that these are seriously considered in parliamentary debates as well?
Remember, we have Dr. Sope, who is highly educated, as you know, depth of experience, has been a judge for 26 years. He's going to lead us in Parliament. And he knows the inner workings of Parliament. He managed and handled many cases as the judge president of the Western Cape, you know, from Parliament and for Parliament. And if you're now asking me in terms of the intricacies of our strategy, that unfortunately I cannot share. And that's exactly the whole point of the strategy. But, you know, at least to say that we will change the laws within the law. And who says that we may not be the incoming government in a couple of months, taking into consideration what's happened? who says that the ANC may not come with us, and then the DA becomes the official opposition. This is politics. You know, things change. Contrary to popular belief that our posture is such that we're arrogant and not willing to engage, of course that's not true. It's just a certain narrative that was being driven. We're here to serve the black people, you know, firstly, and the majority of the country, in terms of coloreds and Indians and everyone else. But we're saying, you know, the majority vote ought to be served and to be focused on. And if that means that we have to get into a progressive, you know, engagement in a progressive caucus with the likes of the EFF and the ANC, we will do so because our mandate is for the people.
I do understand that we have very limited time with you this morning. So I'll also invite calls from our power listeners on 0861-987-000 to reflect on my conversation with Nhlamulo Ndlela this morning of the MK Party. WhatsApp line where you can drop us a voice note. We're on 0833037093. Now, Nhlamulo, you mentioned the name of the impeached Judge President of the Western Cape, John Tlope. I mean, some arguing his controversial background and ongoing legal battles. How does the MK Party then address concerns about ethical governance and integrity within your ranks, especially as these questions emerge over the man that is Judge John Tlope?
You know, there's and here's the reality. And the good thing about it is that your constituency of listeners are black professionals.
Yeah.
If you just look at what has happened under the Cyril Ramaphosa-led ANC and government, black professionals have been ostracized. Black professionals have been targeted. If you look at what has happened just in terms of black middle class in the past term, or this Cyril Ramaphosa's term, have lost homes, they've lost cars. Why? Because they are not participating in the economy. They've been excluded. So let's start there to just show you, because that in and of itself is telling. Now, getting to Dr. Tlope. Dr. Tlope, in this case also, it's the same, by the way, ANC and DA, ANC of Cyril Ramaphosa and DA, that impeached him. That's not a crime. They impeached him. They voted with each other to impeach a black professional who's highly competent. They did the same thing with Mkhweba. Mm. So this is what this DANC will do to black people. The Cyril Ramaphosa ANC and the DA don't care about black people. They're just for white interest, you know, and focusing on emancipating and continuing to hold controls and control the levers of this economy. That's all they care about. Mm. They don't care about black professionals. And that's what they've done. That was a political decision that was taken to impeach Dr. Tlope. And that's that. Nothing else. Mm. So we're not perturbed. Yes, he's a normal citizen. He still carries his doctorate. Hence, we refer to him as a doctor. And he can serve as a member of parliament. Nothing stops him from doing that. And who better positioned than the person who has dealt with by the same alliance now that is forming itself, who knows how they are, than Dr.
And Nhlamulo, I think we have lost you for a bit. Can you hear us still?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what part did you last hear?
So basically, I'm still listening into your views around just the participation in Parliament and you using Dr. Tlope as a very central figure to also push the agenda when it comes to key strategies of nationalization and what steps will be taken to address potential economic disruption as well.
Well, look, we've said, I think I was addressing the issue of why Dr. Tlope.
Hmm.
Then I said that the impeachment was a political decision by the same Cyril Ramaphosa ANC and the DA that has now created a pact and a formation. Because that's what this, and this impeachment against Dr. Tlope should be exemplary of what will happen if the DA and the ANC form a government.
Mm.
Black people, black professionals in the form of the likes of Dr. Tlope and the likes of Mkhweba and any other black professionals are going to be targeted. I can tell you that for free. You can see it. So it's sad that our black brothers and sisters who are professionals who voted for the ANC thinking that it's going to be transformed and creating a platform for them, you know, for economic inclusion. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. As you can see, Cyril Ramaphosa does not care for black people. So they're going to be targeted. It's a fact. And we're saying, from where we are, that the ANC, the real ANC, not this ANC Sonoma Post, should be forming a formation with us. And I call it a three-spear formation. We have EFF, ANC, and NK. And that alone gives us a platform to put in and implement policies. We'll have a two-third majority, but we'll change the laws within the law. And those strategies will be defined in a progressive caucus. And I cannot define what those would be because we'd need input from the various parties that we work with. But naturally, they will be targeted at organically transforming black lives and for South Africans.
So Nhlamulo, you touched on a very interesting point where you said that you are not completely removed from the idea of working, for instance, with the ANC. Let's speak about collaboration and conflict. What is your perspective on working with parties that some argue are progressive parties, such as the EFF and ATM, to achieve common goals in the National Assembly?
Look, again, going back to what I said, we want to work and we will work with progressive parties to form a united front. We have like-minded policies in many aspects, one of those being land, that we want to take back the lands. And you would have heard the interview by Dr. Sloppy, if you've not seen it, he talks to land and how what we want to achieve regarding land. So with that, you know, there's many other facets that we want to focus on, one being nationalization of the mines, naturally so, because we need to ensure beneficiation of our mineral resources for our people, and also as it pertains to the Reserve Bank, because the Reserve Bank, in effect, is responsible for the monetary system in this country. Mm. You know, when you send an e-wallet, the Reserve Bank has got input in there. When it comes to opening up a bank account, the prudential authority, the prudential authority becomes key. In the insurance industry, if you look at what has happened with some of the black insurance companies, they've been dealt a blow because of certain individuals who have got an agenda. So you understand why we want to now nationalize these kind of assets and estate assets. And we're saying, why do you have to unbundle Eskom and sell it? Why do you want to sell SAA? People make decisions without South Africans being or participating in those decisions. You can't go and sell assets when we as South Africans, by virtue of paying taxes, are shareholders of, and you haven't consulted us. We didn't have to unbundle Eskom in order to get electricity. Why now? What are we doing? Why are we privatizing our state? Why are we outsourcing our ports? No. So we're saying that we are for the people and we want to ensure that we protect our assets against white monopoly capital and those that want now today, off the back of Irrigation Act water rights that they received during apartheid, want to now form water banks and then commercialize water, a natural resource which is for sustainability of our people. Why? So people, unfortunately, the likes of the DA, want to commercialize the country because they see a country as a company.
Nhlamulo, I do know that we need to let you go, but let's look at your leadership vision for the MK party. I mean, how does the party reconcile its vision for a radical change like you've outlined with this need for maintaining constitutional integrity and the rule of law? What's the party's stance on these themes?
Well, we will follow the rule of law. As you've seen, you know, on many aspects, we've been labeled as warmongers and we're a violent party, when in actual fact, you know, on a weekly basis leading up to the elections, you know, many of our members were down on a weekly basis. But with that, like I said, we'll change the law, work within the ambits of the law. But we want to Africanize this law. We want to bring about a change that's going to be organic. And everything else, as you know, is in our manifesto. We will work within the parliamentary procedures to introduce those acts and those laws, and we'll work accordingly. Unless, if, of course, the so-called GNU Pact falls apart and then it changes the dynamics and such as politics, then we're talking something else, wouldn't we?
Nhlamulo, we have, 7 minutes before we head to headlines. If you please indulge me, I just want to take two calls, there are questions involved, which you will respond to from our listeners. Let's go to Tsepo in Tshwane very quickly. Tsepo, please keep it short. Tsepo, Nhlamulo is on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, two questions for Nhlamulo. It would appear to me that Nkamulo, they're telling us about the economic emancipation of black people. It's like they're advocating for economic emancipation. But what they're not telling us is, since Zuma was the president of ANC, I mean, 11 years he was the president of ANC, 9 years the state president. And within that 9 years, EFF gave them two-thirds majority in parliament to say, whatever you need to change, we're giving you two-thirds majority, change it. And this time Zuma was the president. He did absolutely nothing about it. They refused the two-thirds majority that EFF gave them. Now, when he's now no longer in power, he comes back and says, actually, I want to do things I couldn't do when I was in the in parliament for 9 years. Number two, Zuma, my brother, is not interested in black people. We know that because in his entire life, he has been friends with the Indian guys. From Shabir Sheikh, he's made Shabir Sheikh the billionaire at the time he was very wealthy. Yeah? He moved on to the Guptas. I think the Vivian Reddys of this world and the Roy Moodleys are his friends. But we don't find any black person who looks like him, who looks like me and you on Kamolo, who's a billionaire as a result of Zuma. He needs to also tell us why he loves Indians so much, but when he needs power, he goes to the black people. Black people need to fight for him when he's in jail. He needs to, they need to fight for him to make more money. But when actually he's on the table, he forgets about them. He prefers Indians.
Tepo, I think Ntlamula has gotten your two questions. We quickly go to Reimsich and speak to Max. Max, please keep it short.
Ntlamula, good day. How are you?
I'm very well, my brother. Go ahead.
Good. Quick question for Mr. Ntlamula. He said he's still a member of the ANC, right? So I just wanted to find out what is his opinion in general of Zizi Kodwa. Zizi Kodwa has resigned 2 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks later he's employed by the same employer. So I just want to find his general view on the matter. Thank you so much, Ntlamula.
Ntlamula, for the purposes of time, I'm not going to rehash or repeat their questions. You can reflect on the two.
Yeah, I think let me start with the issue of the Guptas. You know, every single time the MK party is mentioned, they refer to the Guptas. I take it it's because of President Zuma being the president of the MK party. But MK has got nothing to do with the Guptas. Let me start there. But let's indulge certain people on that Gupta story. The Guptas were friends from many other presidents before President Zuma. President Zuma actually met them in the presidency when they were engaging with the likes of President Thabo Mbeki at the time, and they knew President Mandela. So they were working, all of them. So it becomes an issue when President Zuma all of a sudden knows them. But let me tell you why there was a focus on them. The focus on them was because they, in effect, they were starting to trade into, should we call it, dangerous white monopoly capital ground, in the sense that they were getting contracts from Eskom, and that was 3% off the back of contracts and billions of rands with the green fields contracts, evergreen contracts that the likes of Glencore were getting. You know, and even today, Eskom pays double the rate. But because, you know, let's leave the Guptas, even if it was a black company, those black people would have been dealt with the same way. So this misconception about the Guptas was just a political gambit, and that's that, nothing else. And we've said it. If you look at during President Zuma's time, there were more millionaires than any other president. So if we're going to talk about him being for black people, he is for black people. President Zuma, during his term, built infrastructure, built hospitals, built bridges, built roads, built police stations. What has Cyril Ramaphosa done for this country? Sweet, nothing. Instead, everything's on a regression. Infrastructure is dilapidating. The economy is what it is. It's literally dog's breakfast. If you look at employment, unemployment, it has risen. And we cannot continue in this way. And all we're doing under the Cyril Ramaphosa government is selling state assets that ought to be organic levers for job creation, for instance. You know, so I think also when it comes to the issue of, you know, when he says EFF and ANC, yeah, remember, the dynamics were very different at the time. The EFF at that point in time, you know, wanted President Zuma out because there was a certain narrative that was driven out there by the white media. And the EFF, who, by the way, we work quite closely with, have realized that this Ramaphosa, you know, story that they were sold is a total gambit. Again, it's a farce. It's a lie that was sold to South Africans. But again, you know, they've realized this, and that's why, you know, in their first sitting of the National Assembly, when they were sworn in, they raised the motion because they know that this individual is not for black people.
And very quickly, Nhlamulo, Max says you are still a member of the ANC. I'm not sure how true is that. Give us your reflections on developments on Zizi being sworn into parliament.
Far from it. Far from it. I'll be honest. I've never been a card-carrying member of the ANC. I was a voter of the ANC previously.
Yeah.
And I voted the ANC because I believed in the ANC then for what it was then. But it's not the same ANC under Cyril Ramaphosa, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see me being where I'm at and, you know, following a party that is not focused on political credentials, but social activism. And that's what we're about. We're saying all South Africans, this is your political party. This is your home. You don't have to have credentials to lead. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to identify black professionals, black excellence, and put them into positions. You don't have to be a politician. No. We want to advance this country, and if it means you have the competence and you are black, or at least would prefer to have black excellence first, we will certainly put you in there, but you must perform. And as long as you're implementing our policies and ensuring that our people, you know, we're emancipating our people from poverty, then absolutely, and we're advancing the country and growing the economy, ensuring that SMEs are there, because, you know, SMEs are the vortex of any country's economy and for job creation, then absolutely, that's what we want to see. You know, proper healthcare, free education. Mm. That becomes the driving force. And you don't have to be a Zizi Kota, you know, to be a leader within MK. So let's start there. The issue of Zizi Kota, I mean, when is the ANC ever applied parity? You know, their former SG was told to step aside for certain things. There's many other people that were told to step aside. Why are they not dealing with their liability in the form of Cyril Ramaphosa, who was found with money in his mattress? What's happening to him? Instead, to show you that they don't apply parity, they'll go to Nosiviwa, and I'm not saying that we support Nosiviwa. Mm. They'll go to Nosiviwa and say that because they found wigs and receipts in her house, you know, she must be locked up and then be in the dock. What's happening with Cyril? Why is Cyril not in the dock? Does anyone ask that question? When he was found with foreign currency that you can't even transact with in the country. Why?
Nhlamulo, unfortunately, unfortunately, we have to leave it there because we have to head to headlines. And thank you for also indulging us by offering us a bit more time. That's Nhlamulo Ndlela joining us today and providing insightful perspective on the MK party's vision, but also their strategy as they step into the role as the official opposition in the National Assembly. Let's get your news now.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.